Yeah, I played a taste, but that was my first commercial.
For who?
In the Wazoo Taffy commercial.
Candy Crunchies.
And it was me and four other people. I was the middle taste, but no big deal. We had like red swim caps on, and then they painted our faces red, and we like stuck our faces out of this tongue. And I remember the description was like, okay, so this taste bud, he's foreign, he's mysterious, he's a little sensitive. I was like, I'm just stuck in a giant tongue, man.
It's the same with like the Flonase bee, I think is Antonio. I don't think it's actually Antonio Banderas, but it's a bee that sounds
yeah,
like Antonio Banderas.
Yeah, he talks like
Banderas.
This all the time, yes. The Flonase bee, yes.
Why is that a,
well, I don't
why
even
is that
speak.
A trope?
I don't even speak in the, we would just go, Wazoo, wah, 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 wah.
Wazoo.
Wazoo.
And that, my friends, is how you create a taste bud.
From NPR and Futuro Media, it's Latino USA. I'm Antonia Cerejido, in for Maria Hinojosa. Today, a portrait of Arturo Castro. Arturo Castro is a name you might not immediately recognize. But if you're a fan of Broad City, the show on Comedy Central, you probably recognize this voice.
Lady, there is major conundrum.
What?
There is a hottie at this party that looks just like a male Lucy Liu. Oh.
Arturo Castro is a Guatemalan actor and writer, best known for playing Jaime on Broad City, and cartel leader David Rodriguez on Netflix's Narcos.
No te voy a explicar algo hasta que esta mira se le resuelva a vos.
And now, after a decade in the business, Castro is taking the lead and starring in his own sketch show on Comedy Central.
There's more than one type of Latino, and I'm not going to fulfill some stereotype just to make somebody happy. I'm sorry.
Hey, man, aren't you the drug dealer from Narcos?
Oh, yes, I am.
Alternatino with Arturo Castro is about Castro's identity as an immigrant and navigating life as a Latinx millennial. However, Castro makes it clear that you don't have to be Latinx to watch the show. From a sketch about a depressed robot to a father having a birds and bees talk with his son, Arturo Castro says the show has something for everyone. Arturo Castro, thank you so much for joining me on Latino USA.
Thank you guys for having me. This is so exciting.
So I want to talk about the show specifically, the very first sketch. You came out with like a bang. There's a sketch in which you play a Puerto Rican who was there at that now sort of infamous press conference where President Trump threw paper towels out at the crowd.
He handed out supplies like prizes, lobbing paper towels into the crowd.
And the idea that you and your writers came up with is so funny. It's you catching the paper towels and then going around the island, and it's like the paper towels are magical.
And they fix every single thing that's wrong in Puerto Rico after the hurricane. Yeah.
Yeah. Like there's a broken telephone cord and you put a paper towel on it and magically it's fixed. Or there's a guy with a stop sign impaling him and you fix him with a paper towel.
To us, really, it was there's certain moments where like reality stranger than fiction, you know? And when I watched that conference, mm-hmm. I was like, what the hell are you supposed to do with some paper towels, you know?
As you can see, he's now at one of the tables distributing supplies to the locals.
And then we were like, with our writers, we were like, wait, what if they can just, maybe we don't know, and he's just got magic, like, dust that he put on it, you know, and they can fix the sick and, like, you know, like, fix electricity.
Yeah, everyone is so happy because of these paper towels.
With stuff that sort of upsets us or that we find really ridiculous and disheartening, we try to add comedy to sort of voice our concerns in the sense of taking it further, you know, taking like exaggerating it and then showing people what it would look like. And I feel like comedy is a really disarming tool for people to understand messages. So that's what we use. But yeah,
it's a very morbid joke. It's super dark. Were you nervous at all about how dark the sketch was, or were you like, no, let's go for it?
Oh, no matter, if you think that's dark, yeah. Let's give it a second. The season gets there's sketches that get darker. We have a sketch about a new ICE program called Cage Free Kids, where they just have kids being free roaming, grass fed, no antibiotics, you know?
I'm proud to announce that as of today, we will no longer be detaining undocumented children in cages, and instead we'll be keeping them cage free.
I think this show has the opportunity to talk about it. You know, what you're seeing are sort of like the perspective of what an immigrant looks at when he sees the world around him. But also, mm-hmm. I think that comedy can be a really empathy building tool. And I think a lot of people might not be ill-intentioned. They're just misinformed. So we were aiming at sort of informing people about how I felt or how I feel people like me can feel.
so I have a lot of questions about the show specifically, but let's first talk a little bit about you.
Yes, I was born in Guatemala, born and raised. And I moved to New York when I was 20 years old to attend an acting academy. And I did theater for 4 years, and then I booked Broad City and sort of built from there.
So Arturo, before you went into comedy, you were actually in law school. What made you change your career path?
Oh, because it's so much better money in theater than in law. I'm joking. No, of course. No, I just didn't see myself being as happy with being in an office practicing the divorce law. But if you think about it, it's not really that super different. If you want to pick a like normal, quote unquote, normal job that's like acting, it's taking written word and making it work to your advantage, right? Interpreting it to the point where you can convince a jury or convince a judge that what your interpretation of the law is the correct one. So it was good practice.
So if I'm correct, you were sort of famous in Guatemala for hosting this weekly show called Conexión, which was about the latest in music and pop culture.
Yeah.
Was that your first time on TV?
Was it my first time? No, actually, I did a film when I was like 14. I was like, I had one line. We were kids at a brothel, and I pointed to one. And I was like, Zamora, she's looking at you. And that was my first sort of debut. And I was like, man, I'm famous. That's it. I made $25, and I was like, sick. Fame.
So when you moved to New York, did you want to do comedy at that point, or you were looking more at serious acting?
Well, the show I was hosting in Guatemala was comedic. But yeah, I came to sort of like learn the basis of dramatic acting. And it helped me a lot because it helped me sort of give me the base from which everything else parted. Like, I think comedy, when done really right, is because you're taking it super seriously and your character really believes in this ridiculous circumstance. So I have to credit like studying the classics for that, you know?
Who were some of your heroes? Who would you look up to when you were starting out?
In comedy, there is this one stand-up routine that changed my life, sort of. It was Eddie Izzard with a stand-up special called Dress to Kill. And I might have been like 13 or 14. And he was like so brilliant. He was dressed completely in drag, but it had nothing to do with the show or the content of the show. And I didn't know you could be really smart and a comedian as well. And so that really sort of changed my perspective.
But you can't do that in Church of England. You can't say, you must have tea and cake with a vicar or you die. You can't have extreme points of view. You know, the Spanish Inquisition wouldn't have worked with Church of England. Talk, will you talk? But it hurts. Well, loosen it up a bit, will you?
Besides that, like, I guess the Latino, like, Chespirito and Chapulín Colorado and all these were really, like, inspiring to me.
Calma, calma, que no pande el cúnico. Ya sabes que todos mis movimientos están fríamente calculados.
And TGIF, I remember the American show, Step by Step, I was like, sick. It's not that funny, but it's cool. They're great. Chappelle, you know, Mr. Show, Schumer, Key and Peele, all those guys inspired my love for sketch.
What about language? Did you feel that maybe you were funnier in Spanish or in English? Did you feel like comedy came more naturally in one language?
I think in, like, once I sort of, not mastered English, but like, so like I could... So once my vocabulary in English, literally, as I'm saying, once I mastered English, I'm stuttering. I'm like, you know, once I started with like English, English is good. I like English. English is good. Once I expanded my vocabulary in English, I found that it was like the English language is way more rhythmic, you know, so it's like easier to build in a pause and make it funny. I think comedy in Spanish is more circumstantial. It's just about the situation, you know, because there's so many more words to describe one thing and you can be really succinct in English. So I felt like, yeah, like growing up, I always felt like I could make jokes in English. And that's all the English I know. Thank you very much. Adios. No.
Wait, so you grew up making jokes in English in Guatemala?
Yeah, my family has always spoken English. And my stepdad is Canadian. He married my mom when I was 14. So we had sort of like, you know, I credit my stepdad for teaching me sarcasm. a very Canadian sort of version of sarcasm. So that sort of like sparked it as well.
But it's funny because then in Broad City, you have a thick accent, which is put upon. I don't know if everybody knows that that's not your actual accent. Did you find that a lot in your life when you would go out? People would be surprised that you didn't have that accent.
Oh, yeah, for sure. One guy's like, wait, you don't have an accent? I'm like, no. He's like, wait, so you don't sell weed either? And I'm like, what the hell did you think,
dude? Did that actually happen to you?
Yeah, Bryant Park. He was like such a stoner. And I was like, what do you think? That I was just standing on a corner hotel and waiting. People were like, put that guy on TV. So Jaime is based on a real person, which is Abby's best friend called Jaime. And so I sort of imitated his candor and like the rhythm of his speech, but he speaks a lot lower. So the real Jaime talks a lot more like, hi, papi, how are you? Like, good to see you, you know? And I just thought it was funnier to like hike it up a little bit in tone.
In case we all die, there is something that I must confess to you, Ilana. Last summer, I switched our laptop chargers in the night, during the night, like a sneaky thief. And that's why yours never works. And I see you try and you try and you try. And it's because it's mine. It's never going to work, Ilana.
Jaime was such a wide-eyed character. He's such a little sweetheart, you know? And so his voice sort of naturally went up here. And he was like, oh my goodness, everything is amazing.
Such a particular character you're playing that I didn't know about, like, all this range. And I was surprised to see you on Narcos. Did you take that? Were you seeking out that role or did that role come to you?
I tried to get on Narcos before, but I think they were sort of hesitant in giving me an audition at first because they only knew me from Broad City. And then when I did this movie with Ang Lee, this drama called Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk, and not a lot of people watched it, but a couple months before that, they heard that I was in this drama with Ang Lee and they're like, oh, well, I guess he can do drama. So let's give him an audition. I like actively seeked it out because I've always been a big fan of Narcos. Narcos season 3 and Broad City season 4 came out within a week of each other. So it was really surprising for people. There was a fan theory that David Rodriguez from Narcos went into witness protection program and became Jaime. Just found
That's
love
so
and he was
funny.
Like, I don't want to kill anybody anymore. I just want to be Jaime, you know.
Did you ever act it out thinking like that, that those were the two roles, that they were interconnected?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm completely playing both as each other. I was shooting both simultaneously, so sometimes I'd be like in a torture scene. I'd be like, hello. And they're like, you're doing Jaime. And I'm like, God damn it. Sorry. I'm sorry. I mean, Plato Plomo, Platica. I mean, Platon Plomo. You know?
But it's true. I mean, you're like a real chameleon. And so in a way, this new show, Alternatino, which is coming out on Comedy Central, is amazing because you get to play so many different roles.
Having your own show or sketch show, it's almost like when you're 5 years old and somebody's like, what do you want to be today? What do you want to play at? And you're like, I don't know. I want to be a pirate. And they're like, all right, how big's your pirate ship? And you're like, no way. You know?
Coming up on Latino USA, Arturo Castro talks about how there was not a lot of Latino representation he could identify with on TV, and so he created his own characters.
It was either uber macho or hyper masculine, and I'd never seen a guy that was just like, wasn't really into spicy food because he has a weak stomach and can't salsa dance too much and is super neurotic, you know? So I sort of wanted to see that.
Stay with us, no te vayas.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from HBO, presenting the new comedy series Los Espookies. Executive produced by Lorne Michaels of Saturday Night Live and Fred Armisen, Los Espookies is a primarily Spanish-language series that follows a group of friends who turn their love for horror into a peculiar business, providing horror to those who need it. Starring Julio Torres, Ana Fábrega, and Fred Armisen, catch Los Espookies Fridays at 11 p.m. on HBO. Support also comes from Babbel. Have you always wanted to speak a new language? Whether it's for travel, work, or brain training, Babbel's 10 to 15-minute lessons will get you speaking confidently in your new language. Choose from Spanish, French, and more. You'll learn through real-life dialogues, speech recognition, and interactive trainers. And Babbel's spaced repetition method actually makes you remember what you've learned. Download the app or go to Babbel, Babbel.com, to try Babbel for free.
When you're paying for college on your own, there's a lot to balance. To help you get through it all, NPR's Life Kit talked to the real experts, students.
Finding a side hustle that works for you and works for your schedule is hugely beneficial.
Find Life Kit's new guide on how to pay for college in Apple Podcasts or at npr.org/lifekit.
we're back and we pick up our conversation with the star of the new Comedy Central show, Alternatino, with Arturo Castro. Arturo, how did you come up with the idea behind Alternatino?
Well, I really think, like, I just saw that the narrative out there about what being Latino means is sort of toxic, you know?
So, Arturo.
You don't have to say it like that. It's Arturo, you know?
Arturo.
Okay.
What was it like growing up in Guatemala? I mean, that must have been crazy, yeah?
I don't know about crazy. I lived in the suburbs. We had a little yard with a dog.
Like a sexy Guatemalan street mutt?
A collie. Like Lassie.
And I think it's due to lack of information. And I thought, I have a theory that, like, the human experience at a base level is basically the same, you know? And if you see somebody that doesn't look like you going through a situation that you can relate to, maybe next time you see them, it's not as jarring or, like, not as separatist, you know? Like, everybody can relate to feeling awkward on a first date or, like, nervous at a job interview. And I'd also never seen, like, a Latino represent or Latinx representation on TV that I could relate to. And it was either uber macho or it had to be hyper masculine. And I'd never seen a guy that was just like, wasn't really into spicy food because he has a weak stomach and can't salsa dance too much and is super neurotic, you know? So I sort of wanted to see that.
Did you have specific characters in mind when you thought of the idea for the show? Like, are there any early sketches that made it to the show?
Yes. I mean, the web series version obviously were the first ideas. I was like I have this dread of cursing in front of my Latin mother because I don't want to wind up in an emotional blackmail circle with her and all my tías.
Yeah.
No. Not the emotional blackmail circle, no.
You'll never find a wife.
Oh, yeah.
You're just like your father.
Oh, yes.
We breastfed you until you were 11.
And so that was sort of like the first sort of ideas. And then in episode 3, we have a storyline in which Arturo, the character, goes through a breakup. And so his aunts drop everything from Miami and come and visit him. And that was sort of like taken from real life, you know? And it was sort of like it's a love letter to my upbringing and also to where I live now. Like, I grew up in Guatemala, but I've been here for 14 years. But it's having grown up in Guatemala, there's things about family that I find incredible. Like, when I went through a breakup, my family just like dropped everything and flew to see me. And it was just so surprising for me. And I was like, I really need to sort of pay homage to that.
Tia Silvia, Tia Marta, what are you doing here?
Your mom told us about Renee.
Yeah, we broke up. Me and Renee, not me and my mom. Me and my mom are tight.
Your mom put out the mom signal and dispatched us. We dropped everything and flew straight here from Miami. Uh-huh.
Look, I appreciate you coming all this way, but I am a grown man and I do not need my mommy to send me any help.
So we're just supposed to leave?
No, I didn't say that.
You're just going to disrespect your family and kick your tías to the curb? Like something spoiled in the refrigerator? Like 2 pieces of stale bread that you left in the cupboard? Like old papayas that you don't even remember you had there?
You already won the argument.
It's a love letter to mothers and to like families and cultures. But you don't have to be Latin in order to enjoy the show, I think. Everybody's invited to the party, you know?
Yeah. Another sketch that is recurring in the show is this one where you're dating a white woman who has this super stereotypical idea of like what a Latino man should be like that he loves to dance salsa and that he's quote unquote spicy. And so I'm curious if that idea came from actual personal experience.
Oh, sure. Yeah, for sure. Like, I think in general, there's this fetishization of like the Latin man. But I mean, there's a lot of like, oh, I really want to hear you speak Spanish. It's so sexy. And you're like, I'm running out of things to say in Spanish. You just start like picking out grocery lists. You're like, leche and huevos. Leche, huevos, tortilla. You know?
Ventana. Sí. Ventanero. Puerta. Cerrajero. Escritorio.
Oh, wait. What was that last one?
Escritorio.
No. Before that.
Cerrajero?
Oh, God, yes. That. More of that.
Cerrajero.
Oh, baby, it's so hot when you say that.
So let's talk more about the writing room. What does it look like?
You know, we're grateful. It was a small room, maybe 8 people, and in about half of the room were women or people of color or LGBTQ. But I got to be honest, sometimes it was hard in the submission process finding Latinx voices that sort of paired up with the show. And I think that's sort of, we're grateful to have like 3 Latinx voices, two writers as myself. Plus my assistant was, she's Puerto Rican as well. But the problem is like, in order for us to see your packet, you have to have an agent. And so in order to get an agent, mm-hmm. you had to have had to do other work. And so, there's this really big discrepancy in like the amount of people that get their work out there in front of the eyes of somebody that can actually hire them. And so we're always looking for more streamlined versions of like how we can reach these voices, you know?
I mean, you're somebody who did make it through the pipeline. I'm curious, you know, given your own experience.
My mother called them all and emotionally blackmailed them into me starring in shows. That's what
I mean, listen, it's based on your tias. I feel like that is in line with her personality.
How did I break in is your question?
Yeah.
You have to write and shoot your own stuff. And if you see roles out there that are not that do not define you or that you would like to try out that people wouldn't give you the chance to, you have to, without fear of error, just like write it, get a group of friends and shoot it. Shoot it, put it online. But I think everybody's going to tell you that it's hard and you already know that, you know, people already know that. What I'm here to tell you is that it's possible. There was never a job that was beneath me. Do you know, in the sense of like, unless it was stereotypical or like insulting to the culture, I was just never afraid to work or like do the student films or like, but yeah, play a taste bud first. That's the rite of passage.
Uh-huh. Okay, so one last sketch that I want to get into is the West Side Story sketch.
Yeah, that's another example of like sort of like seeing a life situation and like, you know, West Side Story was... Everybody was sort of like in real brown face. So we were all like super tan makeup, you know, to imitate the style. And then I was like, what would happen if like you're trying to dance battle with people that are there to actually battle? I find that concept really funny.
Quick, meeting. Okay. Okay, so it is feeling like these guys have a very different approach to this Roman than we do. So maybe we like cool it on the whole singing and dancing thing for today, you know?
Hey, but guys. We rehearsed all day and night for this rumble.
Okay, this is not a rumble, okay? That is a hate crime waiting to happen. That's what that looks like.
But I want to do my move.
Stop it with your move.
Something we struggle with sometimes, the show that we produce is called Latino USA, and the same thing, we're highlighting this very particular experience, this very particular American experience, but we want everyone to listen, also because we're challenging ideas of what it means to be Latinx. Were you ever nervous about the name of the show? Were you always set on Alternatino, or had you were you worried, oh, maybe we're pigeonholing who's going to want to watch the show?
Listen, yeah, we workshopped it, we like thought about it, but like, I could have called this show Whitey McWhiterson. They would have still called it the Latino show, right? My name is Arturo Castro. Like, you don't get more of like, unless you add a Jose, which is actually my first name, Jose Arturo Castro. Like, you know, you could, and eventually I was like, I wasn't afraid to alienate people in the sense of like, oh, we're going to pigeonhole ourselves or like, what? I'm like, listen, just the fact that you can put a name like this and then my name with it on a billboard is sort of subversive in and of itself, you know?
I do think that having a Latino at the helm of a project like this does make it easier to sort of talk about a lot of the political things that are going on. I mean, I'm curious what you think. Do you think that this is a hard moment to make light of?
Yeah, so, I think if we lose the ability to laugh, then the people that want to oppress us win. Do you know? I think laughing is mm-hmm. defiant. I think laughing is like, you won't break us. You understand? Like, that, my whole point, listen, I was never a very political person up until they started caging children. And I was like, I can't. Like, I can disagree with you respectfully on like policy issues all you want. But like, as soon as you start treating children like animals, there's nothing we have in common on a human level. And right. So that's when I was like, well, it would be responsible for me to have a platform and not use it to talk about the things that I believe are wrong with this world. So no, I think if anything, it's courageous to stand up and laugh in the face of those who would oppress us and be like, you will not break our spirit. You won't. The Latinx spirit is unbreakable. We just come from generations of people that were like, just keep your head down and do the work. And like, just, you know, like, but I think it's, I think we're going through an awakening. I think Latinos, the Latinx community need to realize that 24% of movie tickets are bought by us. We're about 14% of the population. The power that we wield, if we want it, is immense. And so this show is also a love letter to the unbreakable spirit of my people.
Arturo Castro, thank you so much for joining us on Latino USA.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I hope you enjoy the show. Really, it's a dream come true to see it come to life.
Alternatino with Arturo Castro premiered on June 18th on Comedy Central. episode was produced by Maggie Freeling and edited by Sofia Paliza Carr. The Latino USA team includes Fernanda Camarena, Miguel Macias, Janice Yamoka, and Sarah Quevedo, with additional editing by Marlon Bishop. Our engineers are Stephanie Lebeau and Julia Caruso. Our production manager is Natalia Fidelholz. Our New York Women's Foundation Ignite Fellow is Jess Alvarenga. Our interns are Lucas Southard and Jonathan Cabral. Our theme music was composed by Senia Rubinos. If you like the music you heard on this episode, stop by latinousa.org and check out our weekly Spotify playlist. Our executive producer is Maria Hinojosa. I'm your host this week, Antonia Cerejido. Join us again next time, and in the meantime, you can find us on social media. Adios!
Latino USA is made possible in part by California Endowment, building a strong state by improving the health of all Californians. Funding for Latino USA's coverage of A Culture of Health is made possible in part by a grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. And the Annie E. Casey Foundation creates a brighter future for the nation's children by strengthening families, building greater economic opportunity, and transforming communities.
Those little kisses, to me, sound like very specific, like Latino kisses. Like the when you greet each other, there's like the overly loud kiss.
Yeah.
Because it's not just it's like this like very squeaky sound.
That's right. The squeakier, the better.
That sketch was a little bit triggering. I was like, oh my gosh.
I'm Maria Hinojosa, and next time on Latino USA, the story of two young men, lovers from El Salvador, fighting to be together, no matter how dangerous the journey. That's next time on Latino USA.